The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they all glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Suffering causes pain and sorrow. No matter the kind of suffering, going through health problems, losing a loved one, or witnessing a sinful world run its course, it all leads to pain and sorrow. It may cause us to weep, become depressed, or become anxious. Since that's unnatural to the way God made us, we try and invent ways to cope with suffering, death, and depression. There may be momentary glimpses of helpfulness we can have, whether that's getting counseling or other professional help. Some doctors may prescribe medicines which can help cope. Self-medication is another option, but that certainly has a whole list of adverse effects that would require a whole different sermon. But these things can only help us cope. They don't solve the problem. They don't give us hope. There's nothing eternal about them. Furthering last week's close look at the first commandment, what or who we look to for help and support and comfort in suffering indicates something about what you believe. When bad things happen, where do you go? What do you believe heals you? Do you believe in psychology? Do you believe in medicine? Do you believe in self-medication? Certainly, in some sense, we do believe in psychology and medicine, that these things can help. But we must also recognize that these things are temporary. They give us temporary hope in this world. But no amount of medicine and psychology can fix what comes to sinners, which is death. What then? What's our hope in death? What kind of belief is there then? What is there to heal eternal suffering and death? Our Old Testament and Gospel texts share a similar story. A widow loses her son and she's heartbroken. There may even be a little bit of irritation toward God. Losing a child is perhaps the worst thing a parent can experience. It's never how do we chalk up life as we envisioned it. It just seems so unnatural for death to happen so early. But death is actually unnatural no matter the age, because God created humanity in the Garden of Eden to live without death, to live without suffering, to live without grief. However, since Adam's fall into sin, death, sorrow, and suffering seem all too common. And as the widows from the text experience, there's little comfort in grief. There may even be a little bit of irritation towards God. The only comfort in their grief is if their children are given life. That their suffering ceases to exist. Isn't that the desire of any mother? The widow from the gospel lesson is with many people from her town in procession with her son's casket. But Jesus sees the widow in her mourning and has compassion on her. You've heard this Greek word before, but I'll tell you again. The Greek word for compassion is splachnidzomai, which literally means to have the bowels yearn. But not just the bowels, but all your inner parts. Your heart, your intestines, all your organs. So it's to have so much care and concern and pity for someone that you feel it within you physically. It's like when you see a person and have so much pity on them that your heart sinks. Now this word, splachnidzomai, never describes another person in the Gospels other than Jesus. This is to show how Jesus feels towards a sinful world. But it's not merely an emotion, but it's the telling of Christ's divine mercy into action. Jesus certainly acts. Having compassion on this widow, he told her not to weep. Then approaching this incredibly somber scene, Jesus touches the casket of the dead son and says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." With Jesus' all-powerful healing word, and with his command, he makes things happen. He resurrects him from the dead just from a simple touch and a simple word. Even though it looks to be simple, this is no simple touch and word. This is a healing touch from the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is the Word incarnate. He speaks things into existence just like how he created the world. Let there be light. Let there be fish in the sea. Let there be birds of the air. And his words bring reality. His words do as they say. So when Jesus told this man to arise, he arose. There are situations we have in our life where we may feel like the widow. We may feel incredibly helpless, stuck, filled with pain and sorrow. We may become depressed, anxious, and not know where to turn next. But even the heaviest burdens, the most intense sorrows, the most heart-rending losses, all those meet their match in the life-giving Word of God in sacraments. They're not magic. These sacred tools don't make the heartache vanish overnight, but they do bring lasting and eternal healing over time, despite the hurdles. And whatever your path of suffering may be, our Lord promises to be with you every step of the way. He promises to send his Holy Spirit to be your comforter, to be your helper. And what does the Holy Spirit bring? He brings Jesus through word and sacraments. He brings the peace of Christ, which the world cannot give. He brings the peace which flows from the cross. So let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your sufferings and anxieties leave you feeling forgotten by God. Because our Lord sees you in anguish. And he's moved to compassion, to splachnizomai. And God acts to save you from your suffering. He takes your suffering as his own. He wipes away your tears. He comforts you with his presence. He'll never let you be alone. But Pastor, how can you be so sure? How can you be so sure Christ walks with us in our sufferings? Because he was so moved to compassion for you that he put your sins upon himself and carried your burdens upon his back all the way up to Golgotha, all the way to the cross. He takes away and forgives all your sins so that he can be with you. Because that's what our Lord wants. He wants to forgive your sins so that he can be with you. He wants to love you by getting rid of your sin, which is the roadblock to his presence with you. He promises to forgive your sins when confessed out of a sorrowful heart. He promises to forgive your sins in the waters of baptism. He promises to forgive your sins in his Son's body and blood, given and received by faith in the Lord's Supper. That's why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why he suffered the cross. That's why the people who witnessed the miraculous resurrection of the widow's son proclaimed, God has visited his people. And we can say the same thing today. God has visited and continues to visit his people today. Through his Holy Spirit, promised through word and sacrament, God comes to us. He forgives us. Getting rid of our evil, he comforts us. He eases our anxieties because they're no longer just ours, but our Almighty God's. He wipes away our tears because he was moved by his splachnizomai to do so. But even better, he's moved by his compassion to give us lasting, eternal medicine. A medicine that's more than a temporary fix. A medicine which is more than putting a band-aid on a gushing wound. He gives you victory over death. He gives you eternal life with him. Now that's healing. This is the one to believe in. This is who you go to in your suffering, because there is no earthly medicine to heal eternal wounds. That's what the widow's son found out. He found out the power of Christ to heal death. He found out the new life that Christ gives. And we are given the same gifts. We are given the same medicine. And we learn that the best medicine we receive is Christ. Because he was raised from the dead. And those who have life in his name do too. For that we give thanks. Because resurrection heals everything. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.